Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. What is trophic cascade? Well, that's an ecological process which starts at the top of the food chain and tumbles down to the bottom. Stephanie Arney is a speaker, explorer, and wildlife presenter. She's the founder of the Creative Animal Foundation, and she joins us this month to expand on the topic. Hey, Stephanie, welcome back.
Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I am doing well, and I have not heard of trophic cascade, at least defined in those terms. This is an exciting discovery. How come?
Well, we have known about food chains and food webs. We all learn about that, I believe, in second or third grade. But what I feel is we forget about how intricate it is, how complex it is, and how delicate it is. And so I wanted to share one of my favorite stories, because in the end, what I hope that you hear is that our actions create a ripple effect. And it does go all the way into our soil and of course, into our agriculture and affects us as well. So I want to share one of my favorite examples of trophic cascade. And it's actually about bringing the wolves back to Yellowstone. A lot of you may have heard about this before, but wolves were driven out of Yellowstone. And after 70 years, they were reintroduced. So what's really crazy is their absence changed the entire ecosystem. And when they brought them back, it changed the ecosystem back to the point where it not just changed the ecosystem, but it also changed its physical geography.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's amazing. So they're brought back in. And when they're brought back in, they begin to kill, of course, but it gives life to so many others. So deer populations had increased and had eaten all of the vegetation while the wolves were gone. But once they were reintroduced, the deers began to change their behavior. They started moving around more, traveling more around the hidden vegetation, then spending as much time in the valleys and gorges. Then the vegetation in those areas started to grow back. And a lot of the plants and the trees quintupled in 6 years. In just 6 years, it all grew back. The birds then started to come in, our sound and migratory birds. And when the grass and the trees came back, they were able to, eat a lot more seeds. And then the seeds fell back into the earth and grew more plants. Of course, beavers came back in. And when the beavers came back in, they started taking down these new growth trees and creating dams. And when they create dams, it provides smaller habitats for animals that can't handle really, really fast moving water. And so it creates habitats for ducks and otters and fish and amphibians and reptiles, because they're ecosystem engineers. That's what I love about beavers, is we find them annoying sometimes, but they are, as they're trying to create their home, they're creating many homes for others. Of course, once the wolves came in, they also started to decrease the coyote population. And so now the rabbit and mice population started to increase. And when that happened, it allowed for more small prey to come back in, like hawks, fox, weasels, and badgers that depended on rabbits and mice. And with more hunting from predators, it brought back ravens and bald eagles and bears that eat carrion. Right?
Right.
So it's like these scavengers. So all those animals came back. And then bears were a new added predator. And so the bears were helping the wolves to kill more deer, especially the calves. And all in all, the most impressive thing is that the wolves changed the behavior of the rivers, because there was more grass that was not being eaten by deer. There was less erosion. So it helped stabilize the banks. So now the rivers and the creeks, they meandered less. They had more narrow channels. They were cleaner. There was more pools. And just in general, there was just less vegetation everywhere. So it physically changed the geography of the entire Yellowstone Park by just bringing back an animal that is an apex predator that was meant to be there in the first place.
I feel like we should ring a little bell at the end, because ta-da, it seems like not a simple thing, you know, to make the decision to reintroduce wolves and how, but that's how it works. And so much can happen just from that decision. The main takeaway here is like, whoa, those decisions matter.
Yeah. You know, if we we have to consider how we interact with the world around us. And that's what I'm most fascinated with. I love animals, but I love how all of us are interconnected into this crazy cool food web. Yeah. And what I want people to remember is that, okay, look, I understand we need to compete for things, for space, for resources against each other and other animals. But we need to consider the fact that sometimes our choices end up coming back and biting us in the butt.
Right.
We forget that we are depending. We all have this job in this food web, and we all are depending on things for survival. So if we're making really drastic decisions with hunting and trapping, or we're not paying attention to how we're increasing climate change, if we are just throwing an invasive species into a habitat, in the end, it messes with the entire food web, and eventually that can come back and affect our soil, which affects the way that our crops grow. It could determine whether we get chocolate or coffee or we're eating fish or not. So it can be really catastrophic. You know, one really crazy example of this is humans got lionfish as a pet, you know, those really venomous, right, orange and white, impressive fish. And once they had them, they're like, okay, well, I guess they're kind of boring. And so people started releasing them in the ocean because we have this thing where we're like, oh, let's put it back out in the wild. Well, now you've disrupted this ecosystem. And the consequences are these animals grow really quick, and they have multiple eggs several times a year, and they eat literally everything. So now there's nothing eating them because that food web didn't adapt to have an animal to eat a lionfish that is not naturally from some of these locations. And so now it's decimating some of our fish populations, fish that us humans in America depend on and eat. So I guess my point is just remember that some of the things that you hear animal advocates and environmental advocates saying is not just about, oh, we want to save that wolf. It's about the fact that wolf affects that entire ecosystem, and we depend on that ecosystem for survival as humans. So just like a game of Jenga, if we mess with too many of those little blocks, it starts to get really wiggly. And eventually, if we push it too hard out of ego or ignorance or fear, then that Jenga game will fall apart, and it will be detrimental for humans. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we look at that bigger system and we do the best we can to make really healthy decisions so that we have balanced ecosystems, so all living things can benefit.
Intelligent and inspiring as always. You can follow Stephanie Arney pretty much everywhere on social media at Stephanie Arney on Twitter. Look for her in other places. She is the founder of the Creative Animal Foundation. We'll put some links up for you on our website after the program as well. Stephanie, thank you so much for this today.
Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day.